The Indian Premier League is off. So what happens now? This is cricket, only better. Welcome back to Cricket Only Better Show 79. This is Show 79, Take 2. We've hastily re-recorded after the inevitable and, of course, correct decision to postpone the IPL. But you can't shut us up. Still loads to talk about. Sam Collins is here.
Obviously, but very sad events going on in India, shaping up to be a great tournament, but that's really the least of the concerns. We did have a terrific show lined up with all the trends, data, stats to tell you about what was going to happen in the second half. But no, what people want to know now is, does this tournament restart, Ed Hawkins? Surely not.
I don't see how it can. The BCCI have said players are going home, so any restart is going to require a minimum 10-day quarantine. So that's May out, I'd have thought. And look, the calendar is absolutely jam-packed. June is out because of India's involvement in the World Test Championship. India are due to be playing England in August. Can they get it done in July? Very, very tight, very, very unlikely. It would have to be in the UAE. The Caribbean Premier League starts in September. The World T20 is in October.
Well, it does raise an interesting political situation, which is that what we saw with the women's tournament was that India do not really care about what goes on in other leagues. So I wonder if we might have another IPL versus Big Bash clash later in the year. Let's see.
I think for the moment, no. Another question for our listeners, the one they really want answering, is what happens to my long-term wages? What happens to all those wonderful tips you gave us on the preview show? No fear. Stuart Conroy is here. Betfair Sportsbook odds compiler will give us some insight into what is likely to happen to your money.
Good afternoon. Paul Krishnamurti from betting.betfair and Richard Mann from sportinglife.com are also back to talk about what we did learn betting-wise from this first stage of this year's tournament, IPL that is. Plenty of good stuff to come, folks, and believe it or not, some actual cricket as well.
Yep, Zimbabwe-Pakistan from Harare on Friday. It's a test match. What's that?
Good stuff. First, though, let's hear from Stuart Conroy about your IPL bets.
Now, what you really want to know is what happens to your long-term IPL wages. Now, the man to help us answer that, or at least give us a bit of an indication, is Stuart Conroy from Betfair Sportsbook. How are you doing, Stuart?
I'm good, thanks, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So, what's the situation with people's bets, Stuart? All those wonderful wages that they were going to have, which is going to win them a new lifestyle in the sun. What's happening to them?
It's pretty much up in the air at the moment. Until we get some real confirmation from the BCCI about what way the tournament's going to go, we're pretty much in limbo. Obviously, we don't want to void people's bets, you know, if the tournament all of a sudden decides to start back up in a month's time. So we're pretty much going to treat it in the same way we treated the Pakistan Super League when that got stopped in a similar situation. We pretty much put a pause on the bets. Luckily enough, in that case, the Pakistan Cricket Board came back quite quickly and confirmed when that tournament would restart. We're hoping that the BCCI will come up with something similar. I imagine they'll want to do it for TV purposes, for their sponsors, for the players, to try and give them some kind of confirmation about when they'll restart. And we'll pretty much take it from there. If they do confirm that the tournament is cancelled, obviously we'd be looking at voiding people's bets at that stage because, you know, people haven't gotten a run for their money.
Yeah. Is there any sort of wiggle room on voiding bets? I mean, do you void all the outright bets on the franchises or do you let the individual top run scorer markets or top bowler markets run?
Yeah. So at the moment, we're not really sure what we can do. I mean, we're pretty much in limbo on how we're going to settle the bets in the event of if it gets cancelled. If it does, obviously, look, we'll always try and be customer friendly. You know, I can't obviously confirm we'll do one or the other at the moment. We haven't had the situation come up in the past where global tournaments have been cancelled part of the way through. Luckily enough, You know, we've had a situation where they've been refixed, rescheduled, and we've been able to hold people's bets until then. Hopefully, you know, the tournament is rescheduled and people's bets can stand and the run. But yeah, until we get an official announcement from the BCCI, we're pretty much going to put a pause on everything.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, with bookmaking, you can avoid bets, or you're going to let some bets run. There are going to be people who are happy, and they're going to be people who are unhappy, aren't they?
Of course, and it's the nature of it, and it's one of those really strange things we've seen in COVID times, where we've had to make decisions that we would have never had to have made in the past. I think obviously, look, we're going to try and be as fair as possible to every punter that's out there. Look, you know, happy punters are good punters. And that's, you know, that's, we've always been customer facing here in Betfair, and, you know, we'll always continue to be in that way.
Yeah. I mean, talking about making decisions that you don't normally have to make. I mean, when does the St. Lucia T10 blast start against you? That's what people want to know about.
I was hoping that I would never have to see these kind of tournaments again, but, yeah, that seems to kind of, like, I don't know if we're going to cover it, to be honest. There's obviously been a couple of issues before with getting, you know, proper feeds for these games and that kind of thing. So, look, we're assessing what kind of, you know, cricket we can offer at the moment. We want to offer as much grade A stuff as possible. And luckily enough, you know, we've got the Pakistan Super League starting back the start of June. We've got county cricket and the likes of the Blast and the 100 are arriving soon. So, looking forward to all of those.
Yeah, I mean, is there a time limit on something like this with the IPL? I mean, if it doesn't start again this year and the BCCI are keeping shtum as they are prone to be, I mean, do you just call it for them, or do you just absolutely have to wait from BCCI's?
At the moment, we're pretty much at the mercy of the BCCI at the moment. I would very much be surprised if they didn't make some kind of announcement in the short term of what they're going to do. They've got to give some finality to the players, you know, not just to the Indian domestic players, but obviously the overseas players as well, who have other commitments in other tournaments. You've got a number of players that are going to be booked into play in the Caribbean Premier League later in the year. That's around August time. You've got other players that have got international commitments, such as all the English lads and the New Zealand lads that are there. These guys need to have some kind of, you know, kind of proper idea of where going forward. I don't think the BCCI will leave it that long. I think there's also going to be pressure from the ICC with the World Cup scheduled to be in October. I don't think it's going to go any longer than that. I think realistically, if we don't see the IPL this side of October, I would say the likeliest thing is that the BCCI might put a line through the tournament.
Let's talk about what you did like in the tournament, Stuart, or particularly with a betting slant. I mean, again, another tournament which was full of surprises and new strategies. What was your main take from it?
Yeah, it was interesting to see. The idea of the initial moving in caravans of pitches was an interesting one, because we saw the complete duality of what pitches can be like between the pitch in Mumbai, which was constantly high scoring. It was an absolute run fest for batsmen. And then Chennai, which seemed to be the total opposite of it, where, you know, top players just could not make runs on that pitch. Again, I saw some criticism of it. There's probably a criticism of both pitches. I think, you know, there wasn't a clear balance on both pitches, and that's something, you know, they've got to look at down the road. You know, there has to be an even game between bowler and batsman on any given pitch. That was obviously one aspect of it. I think one of the things that I'd said to you in previous podcasts about Kohli, I think still stands up here. I don't think he's the same player, you know, kind of that he's built up to be. Whether there's a lot of pressure on the shoulders at the moment, I'm not too sure. You know, he's going to have an awful lot of questions to answer when he goes to England now in the summer, and then to lead India into a T20 World Cup that's potentially not going to be on Indian soil now at this stage. But yeah, that's a big question mark for me going forwards.
I bet you've won a lot of money on Kohli, because you're price boosting him every single game, and he won once for top bat. And I know that because I was betting him, because I had him on win rate. But you've outdone me, and you've always been against Kohli.
Absolutely. And it's something kind of I've been fairly consistent on. You know, kind of, we kind of tried to pick out a number of players as it went on, kind of learned a couple of harsh lessons on laying KL Rahul at bigger prices. But now Kohli was the one that I targeted at the very start of the tournament, that we really wanted to be out there. you know, give customers best price to them. If they wanted to come in, we were prepared to take them on in every single game. And yeah, it's absolutely, it's been quite profitable to us.
All right, Stuart, I'll let you go. Thanks so much.
No problem, Ed. Great talking to you. Chat to you again soon.
So the IPL has been postponed. You've heard from Stuart Conroy, Betfair Sportsbook's odds compiler, about what that means for your wagers. Now let's say hi to Paul Krishnamurti from betting.betfair. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Sam.
Hello, hello. Sad news indeed, good to chat to you as always. Once again, we also welcome Richard Mann from sportinglife.com. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Sam. Twice in one week.
Indeed. What a treat. Now, guys, no quibbles about this decision, presumably, from you. Richard, any thoughts?
No, it's clearly the right call, isn't it? I think if we're being honest, even as cricket fans, it probably should have happened a week or so ago, shouldn't it? So, look, it's disappointing for cricket fans, but there's obviously a bigger picture here. And the situation in India is very grave at the moment. Fingers crossed there's improvement sometime soon.
Paul, we've heard from Ed earlier. Presumably, you're in agreement this tournament is now looking very unlikely to be completed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've just got to echo what both the other guys have said. I mean, there are bigger things in play here than cricket, and it's hardly a good image for cricket to be carrying on in the midst of this disaster.
Okay, well, let's talk about what we have learned through the tournament so far. We've had some great insight while it lasted on here for the IPL, so it's an opportunity to take a stock about strategies and players. Come to you first, Paul. What will you take from this tournament to bet on in future franchise T20 leagues?
Well, really, it's really reinforced my view about ground trends and the whole strategy around that. Because as you know, my real betting approach is very much around the runs and assessing what a good score is before predicting a match, etc. And because we're seeing these games all batched together at the same ground, those trends are really emphasised. Whereas, you know, normally when they're changing ground every day, it's very easy to get a bit lost. So we've got some really clear trends about these grounds for next year's IPL and whether they play in bubbles or not. And of course, the same thing will apply in the Caribbean Premier League, which is the same thing they always play in little batches of seven games at the same ground. So that's really it. Just look at the past stats of that ground, stick with the trends and watch each game and learn as you go. You should get better.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. Richard, I'm going to ask you the same question strategy-wise, because I'll ask you your favourite player pick again in a second.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly sort of emphasising a little bit what Paul said, just about conditions in general. I think we look at cricket, but ultimately the biggest factor is conditions. It doesn't matter who the players are, conditions generally rule the roost. And we saw that in Chennai. I think I was looking earlier, only three scores over 160. And then you go to Mumbai and it was a run fest, really. And these are the same players, you know, the same brilliant batsmen. But in Chennai, the conditions, they handicap them. Whereas in places like Mumbai, it was much easier. So you've just got to stick with conditions. Don't go into it thinking, oh, well, you know, Mumbai have got this powerhouse batting lineup. They can make 200 anywhere. They can't. Conditions dictate. And then the other thing that's shone through again this season is just about IPL sides with a strong Indian core. I was against Delhi Capitals this year, but they've got that strong Indian core, Dhawan at the top, all the way through Akshar Patel, Ashwin. And they've been really impressive. Chennai Super Kings, the same with a real strong Indian core. And the sides who have struggled have built their sides around overseas players, KKR, Sunrisers, top order, all overseas stars. It just doesn't work. You have to have a strong core and the overseas players have to complement it, provide the X factor, if you like. But the foundations have to be built on a strong Indian core. And when it comes to next year, doing your previews, picking your picks, that's what you want to be looking at, never mind the big buys in the auction.
Okay. Ed Hawkins, you touched on this in the show that will never be heard, how we're continuing to learn a whole new ball game with T20, specifically about how Mumbai and Delhi were lining up towards the end of this stint.
Yeah, I just wonder whether Mumbai had stolen the march on everyone in the franchise leagues all over the world, and that move to pick just three batsmen and use Krunal Pandya, Hardik Pandya and Kieran Pollard as just absolute smashers from number four down, and whether that's a trend which we're going to see moving forward as the franchise leagues come thick and fast, fingers crossed, COVID dependent, of course, and Delhi were kind of doing the opposite, whether they were playing in the old fashioned way, still using the anchor player. Are we going to see the end of the anchor player now? I mean, all your data analysts who are so proficient now around the world will say you don't need an anchor player and you just need people like the Pandya brothers and Pollard just to go in and absolutely smash it. So it could well be sort of the end of the specialist batsman, if you like, and it's just going to be stick cricket style hitting from now on.
Okay, an image indeed. Now, I want each of you to pick a player moving forward in franchise leagues from a little glimmer you've seen these last few weeks. Ed Hawkins, you're up first.
Yeah, mentioned it in the show that never was. Dev Padikkal, follow him for top IPL tournament run scorer in 2022. I'm almost sure we're going to be putting him up around about 12 to 1. Was really interested to see how he went this season, to see if he could put a big score together, and he did. He managed a century, and I think he'll go from strength to strength. He's the new KL Rahul, I think, if you like, and I think he's going to go very, very close to winning the purple cap, or whether it's the orange cap. I don't know what colour it's supposed to be, but he's going to go very, very well next year.
Wow, that is some build-up, Ed Hawkins. Richard Mann, who's caught your eye?
Yeah, well, I'll go with a bowler then. Prasidh Krishna from KKR, quick bowler, 25 years of age now, finally coming to his best, if you like. He's played a bit of IPL cricket, but I feel this season's been a real breakthrough for me. He's picked up 8 wickets in what has been a really poor KKR side. He's probably been their best bowler, him along with Pat Cummins. I really like him. He's got pace, got a good slow ball, and he's got a lovely easy action. I think pace comes easy to him. Already been picked up by India, played 3 ODIs, but I think next season, I think KKR will probably want to build their attack around him, whether that is with Brendan McCullum as coach or not. But I think Krishna, he's the future of that franchise, and hopefully we'll get a good opportunity to back him, and you know, for their top season, in their top season bowler markets. I'm really excited about him.
Thank you very much. Paul Krishnamurti.
I'll go for Chetan Zakaria, who has come into that much weakened Rajasthan side that we've underestimated. I think he's had an excellent first season. He looks a great prospect. And it's interesting that we've been really dismissive of Rajasthan. But imagine another scenario next year. They get the full overseas players available. You've got Archer and Zakaria bowling together. Ben Stokes back. They might even be contenders.
Wow. That is some words from Paul Krishnamurti. Right. My turn to shout numbers at you guys. Loads of consequences, of course, of the IPL postponement. Almost all trivial, considering what's really going on in India. And we note that, so please don't tweet angrily in response to this. But the World T20 is going to be moved probably to the UAE. So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on how that affects the outright market because of some shocking performances from some Aussies and Englishmen over the last few weeks. Sportsbook go 5-2 India, England and Australia, both 3-1, New Zealand 8.1, West Indies are 9s, Pakistan 12s and South Africa 12s. Ed Hawkins, coming to you first on this.
Yeah, great news for Pakistan. Some people may well know my thoughts about how likely Pakistan are to win world tournaments in India. So the fact that it's not in India is a great boost for them. And of course, if it's in the UAE, that is basically a home venue for Pakistan. That's where all their PSL games have been played over the last few years. And I think Pakistan have probably been underrated. South Africa would also look at them. I think AB de Villiers is going to come back into that South Africa team for that World T20.
Richard, anything you've gleaned out of that World T20?
Well, I've been a New Zealand fan for a while now. I think they're developing a really exciting T20 side, lots of attacking young players. But I think the value's probably been squeezed out of them a little bit now. They were 10 to 1 a few months back, and that's obviously not the case now. Big plus, though, going to Dubai. Trent Bull, as Ed was alluding to on the show yesterday, has not been effective in this IPL with a new ball in the power play. But when Mumbai Indians won in Dubai last year, he swung the new ball prodigiously and he was picking up lots of early wickets. So he'll be hopeful of going to Dubai and being able to pick up some early wickets for New Zealand. If he can do that, you know, I think they've still got a great chance.
Okay. Finally, Paul Krishnamurti.
Well, I totally endorse both of those two, Pakistan and New Zealand. I think they're the best two bets, particularly Pakistan with this now, where it's effectively home advantage for them. I'm massively against Australia. I think they are completely the wrong price. They're a weak side in limited overs cricket, particularly T20. And in general, I want to be against the favourites here anyway, because the toss is so important in T20 now. This can so easily go wrong. So, yeah, I'd go Pakistan, New Zealand, lay Australia.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Now, a quick break. Then we preview a game which will go ahead, plus maybe, just maybe, some best bets. Some actual cricket now, then. Zimbabwe versus Pakistan from Harare starts on Friday. Betfair Sportsbook prices 14-1 Zimbabwe, 10-1 the draw, 1-10 Pakistan. Blimey. Pick the bones out of that. Ed Hawkins, low down, please.
Yeah, I'll give you some teams for you. Zimbabwe first up, Prince Masavare, Kevin Kazuza, Musa Kanda, Taylor, that's Brendan Taylor, the top batsman bet that everyone's going to go for. Will we follow suit? Shumba, Roy Kaya, top scorer in that first game in his debut, Regis Chikabava, Donald Trippiano, Tendai Chisora and Blessing Muzurabani, and completing the 11 is Richard Nagrava. Pakistan for you, Imran Abidawali, Azhar Ali, Babar Azam, Fawad Alam, Rizwan, Fahim the Machine, Hassan Ali, Nauman, Sajid Khan and Shaheen. What does this Harare pitch do? Well, 14 of the last 15 there have produced results. That's probably got more to do with Zimbabwe's, well, shocking performances or just limited talent pool. 356 is the average first innings score in your last 10. Zimbabwe averaged 313 at the venue. And this is the way we're thinking. This is a clue to the way we're thinking and how we're going to bet. Zimbabwe have passed 354 times in the last 14 against your big eight teams in the first innings. They average 276. Zimbabwe beat Bangladesh in 2018. But prior to that, their last big eight win was against Pakistan in 2013, and they've only won 12 of them altogether.
Okay, so Paul, how do we go about betting on a game like this, which is such a mismatch? Pakistan are going to win, but you can't surely advise people to bet those odds.
No, obviously. I mean, but you can try an ambitious target in running. Mad things happen in Test cricket. There is a chance that day one goes against Pakistan and they're out to even money. It happens. So by all means, put an ambitious target, maybe lower than that, maybe 1.7. But the better markets to follow are going to be the runs and the tops and the specials. Notably, they only got 310 runs in two innings last time. Zimbabwe against a very strong Pakistan attack. I think you'll probably be able to get, I think par will be around 225 at the start. So I'm going to look to maybe go under 250 and under 275 in running. And just an old strategy, laying the really short odds on unders targets in running, because they could easily collapse and lose 5 wickets for 10 runs or something.
Okay. Richard Mann, any players you want to pick out to follow? Ed's got some numbers to crunch there, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, just Fawad Alam. I mean, he's just building himself a terrific record. He's only played 10 test matches. He's made 400s already, which is phenomenal numbers, really. And every time he's gone to 50, he's converted as well. I mean, that's really impressive. He's a proper run scorer, a run machine when he gets in. And I think if you're looking to bet in the side markets, he's 11-2 for top Pakistan batsmen. Clearly, he's in a high class field and he's going to have lots of competition. But I think if you're wanting to back him individuals run lines, forget the 50 and just try and back him to make 100 at a bigger price. Because I think when he gets in and gets set, he generally goes big.
Ed Hawkins, what does the database have to say about top run scorers, wicket takers?
Well, it says we wish some players were playing who aren't. There's no Sean Williams, no Sikandar Raza for Zimbabwe, so we'd probably been on them. I suppose people want to know whether Brendan Taylor's a bet at 2-1 with Sportsbook to top score in that first innings. The answer is a very, very strong no. The average is 24 over the last 4 years, so he's no fun whatsoever. I think Paul's got a wager on this one, so we'll come to him in a second. With the ball for Zimbabwe, Blessing Muzurabani, a North Hants man. People who follow the county game will know of him. He's doing okay after 4 tests, but 6-4, way too skinny for your top bowler. Just a little bit of a squeak for Victor Nyuchi at 5s, right-arm pace bowler, 9 wickets in 5 first digs. Potential wager for you there, although He's not making our possible 11 at the moment. And another favourite to down is Babar Azam. 4 wins in the last 23 on top bat market. So we're not getting involved at 2-1. Azhar Ali has decent form, but the 7-2 is too short. The value here is with, as Richard said, is Fawad. Very, very short study period, but 2 wins in the last 6. And I think he's going off at 11-2, so probably your value. Really, really like Fahim Ashraf, Fahim the Machine, 25-1. He's got a couple of wins on this market down the years. Possibly the bet with him, though, is back him in play for a 50, around about 100-30. He's got 4 50s in 9 first innings in his career. He's a terrific player. That's why they call him the Machine. Babar Azam will be well backed for a 50, but you're not going to get any value on that. 10 to 11, probably shorter. Last 3 years, he does it 47% of the time. 10 to 11 is 52.4% implied probability.
Love it. Great numbers, Ed Hawkins. Paul, did you spot something on that top Zimbabwe bat?
Yeah, I like Regis Chikadva at 8 to 1. He's batting at 7, but I think this is the perfect scenario to back a middle order player because probably be a low total, might well win the market on 30 or 40. He's got a superior first-class and test average to everyone else in that team, bar Taylor.
Okay, one to keep an eye on. Before we go to best bets, Richard, anything you want to add?
I just want to echo Paul's sentiments there about Regis. I was, very keen on him. Experienced campaign. I thought he knuckled down really well in the second innings of the first test. My slight concern would be that he gets left high and dry with a weak tail against a pacey Pakistan attack. But fingers crossed, like Paul says, 30 or 40 might win in this.
Okay. Thank you both. Right. Coming up after the break, best bet. Best bets time now. Not too many runners and riders this week. Coming to you first, Paul Krishnamurti.
I'll go for Regis Chikadva to be top Zimbabwe run scorer at 8-1.
Okay, lovely stuff. Richard Mann.
Hot on the heels of a big 100 in the first test, I'm going to put up Fawad Alam, the top Pakistan run scorer, at 11-2.
Great stuff. Edward Hawkins, last but not least.
Fahim Ashraf to score a 50, might get 10-3. In play. He's got a terrific record and is underrated.
Thank you very much, gents.
Yes, thanks indeed. And that is your lot for Cricket Only Better Show 79. The IPL may well be all done and dusted, but we'll still be back next week for more fun and frolics and an interesting little tweak on the best bets.